It was my privilege to attend the special session of the First Congress of the Philippines in Manila, during which the Congress was addressed by General Douglas MacArthur. For absolute devotion, I have never witnessed a more stirring demonstration on the part of a people, nor have I ever heard a more eloquent tribute and challenge to a people than was given by General MacArthur. Thanks to the cooperation of the Public Relations Office at General Headquarters in Manila, I was able to acquire a transcription of the General's address, which you will hear in just a moment. First, let me give you something of the atmosphere of the occasion. It was a sunny morning typical of the better days in this part of the Philippine world. For blocks along the approach to the Congress building, the streets were lined with idolizing citizens, eager for even a glimpse of their greatest hero. Inside the halls of the Congress building, every possible standing room spot was occupied by men and women whose faces showed an almost unbelievable anticipation. At the appointed hour, the President of the Congress dispatched an official committee to escort the guest of honor to the congressional chambers. The tension increased. There was a shuffling for better points of vantage, every eye being glued to the doorway through which the general was to enter. Yes, I shared some measure of that excitement, for after all, I was about to see for the first time in person one of the most celebrated personalities the world has ever known. His entrance into the circle of our stairs was tremendously impressive. The general is rather a tall man, and as he stepped through the doorway, he was immediately in command of the situation. With an easy grace, he nodded to the members of his military staff and accepted with a broad smile the tremendous ovation of the expectant crowd. Cameras clicked and ground out the general's approach to the stand and the brief personal acknowledgments that preceded the seating of the official party. Almost immediately, there began one of the most inspired routines of introduction I have ever heard in my life. The Filipino has a genius for words and a spiritual zeal that rose to its greatest heights in the presentation of the speaker on this unforgettable occasion. An awed stillness held every face in nothing short of a trance as the speaker of the house began. This day shall stand out with a sacred halo in the history of our nation. We pause on this occasion to pay homage to one of the most distinguished men of all time, the peerless military genius whose pledge of ultimate redemption sustained the Filipino people through their darkest hour, the military statesman whose sagacity and wisdom have made his spectacular campaigns more than military exploits, the soldier whose courage cannot be daunted by fire and steel, the apostle of light whose gallant forces have restored the country he has made his home to peace and freedom, General Douglas MacArthur.
Gentlemen of the Congress of the Philippines, it is cause for profound satisfaction to see this legislative body, instrument of democratic expression, restored to the people. You convene at a time when we are still locked in mortal combat with an enemy who vigorously seeks to exploit racial prejudice and to suppress human freedom as the ideology of mankind. Since the beginning of time, men have crusaded for freedom and for equality. It was this passion for liberty which inspired the architects of my own government to proclaim so immutably and so beautifully that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. On such rights rests our basic concept of human freedom, in defense of which we have fought and still continue to fight on the battlefields of the world. These rights are the very antithesis to the totalitarian doctrine which seeks to regiment the people and control the human will as the price for presumed efficiency in government. The recent collapse of one people after another dedicated to this totalitarian theory of government offers complete and eloquent proof that the enduring strength of a body politic arises from the degree of freedom accorded its individual members and not from any seeming efficiency gained at the sacrifice of that freedom. It behooves you, therefore, to safeguard these sacred rights no less zealously in peace than you have defended them in war. You convene at a time when you are soon to realize your long-sought political independence. Prior to the start of hostilities in the present war, those who opposed your independence did so on the ground that you yet lacked the stature as a race essential to self-government, that you lacked the economic stability to sustain self-government, and that you lacked the resources essential to defend the self-government. All these contentions are untenable. Yours is a culture which for 400 years has progressively become a blend between the culture of the East and the culture of the West, with resulting racial character influenced by the best of each. Your combat record on Bataan and the magnificent spiritual and physical resistance of the great masses of your people to the enemy efforts at pacification have given to the world the true measure of the strength of your character and established your undisputed spiritual capacity for self-government under any standards. That strength of character has been manifested time and again when your people were brought under the extreme test of enemy brutality and otherwise subjected to the horrors of war. During the battle for Manila, I have seen mothers anguish the soul for their dead children. I have seen fathers bereft of all whom they held dear, and with all material possessions gone. I have seen a continuous line of refugees from South Manila slowly trudging north over the Ponton Bridge on the Pasig without food, water, or shelter, and knowing not whither to go in search of sanctuary. But through the stark terror tragedy of it all, there is one thing I have never heard, one thing I have never seen. I have never heard a whimper. I have never seen a tear. It is just that courage and fortitude and resiliency of your people has permitted this city of Manila to rise above the destruction of February last without starvation, without food riots or other disorder, and without epidemic. There was exemplified the strength of the Filipino character, the height of your stature as a race, adequate answer to those who would question your spiritual capacity for self-government. Those who would say that the economy of the country will not sustain a free and independent nation would appear to anticipate arbitrary tariff barriers to drastically restrict or eliminate your trade with the United States. I am fully confident that the American people will extend to you the full measure of trade advocated by your late great president, Manuel Quezon, and do everything else within their power to assist you along the road to your national destiny. Prior to this great war, the question of national defense offered the most serious obstacle to the reality of your political independence. Altered world conditions resulting from the war have removed this obstacle. Defense is no longer national. It has become international. No nation, however powerful, may in future with safety rely exclusively upon its own defense potentiality, but must resort to international defense in consort with other nations. This does not mean that you may with impunity fail to take such defensive dispositions as are reasonably within your power, but rather that in addition to such dispositions, you must bring yourself into such international alignment that offers best hope for the preservation of future peace in the Pacific Basin.